כבוד. תשיב לה, או תלעב את הקלען פקוש. עלים לחוי.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون المعون صدق الله العلي العظيم
جناب عباس رضوی صاحب سے درخواست ہے کہ وہ تشریف لائے اور سلام پیش کریں جناب عباس رضوی
بارے دیگر صلوات نسیم اور روحی کے والی شمیم اور روحی کا سلام غم حسین کو اہل ستم مٹا سکے ہمیں حسین کو اہل ستم مٹا نہ سکے یہ وہ چراغ ہے آندھی جسے بجھا سکے یہ وہ چراغ ہے آندھی جسے بجھا نہ سکے شیر سنیے گا ملیں گے عرش محشر میں وہ کفے افسوس ملیں گے عرصے محشر میں وہ کفے افسوس جو آج ماتم سرور میں ہاتھ اٹھا نہ سکے جو آج ماتم سرور ہاتھ اٹھا نہ سکے وہ انقلاب کے معنی سمجھ نہیں سکتے وہ انقلاب کے معنی سمجھ نہیں سکتے جو لوگ ہر کے ارادے کا راز پا نہ سکے جو لوگ ہر کے ارادے کا راز پا نہ سکے یہ عجیب شعر ہے جو شیر گلا نہ کٹاتے تو پھر تمہیں کہتے جو شہ گلا نہ کٹاتے تو پھر تمہیں کہتے حسین بچ گئے اسلام کو بچا نہ نہ سکے حسین بچ گئے اسلام کو بچا نہ سکے مقتدا ہے جبھی کو بھول گیا رکھ کے پائے مولا پر جبھی کو بھول گیا رکھ کے پائے مولا پر شمیم جو کسی چوکٹ پر سر جھکا نہ سکے شمیم جو کسی چوکھٹ پسر جھکا نہ سکے غمِ حسین کو اہل ستم مٹا نہ سکے یہ وہ چراغ ہے آندھی جسے بجھا نہ سکے درود پڑھ
جناب علی عباس نقوی ہو جاتے نقوی سے جماعت سے مرسی خان نکلی تشریف لائے
نعرہ صلوات
اللہم صل علی محمد و آل محمد
چار مصرع پیش ہیں ارے شبی رکی غربت پہ
محمد
چار مصرع اور پیش ہیں. ارے حیدر کی جان فاطمہ کے دل کا چین ہے, حیدر کی جان فاطمہ کے دل کا چین ہے, اور ہمشی رے با وفائے شہ مش راق ہمشی رے با وفا شہ مش رام تیسرا جو تھا مصر. اور کیا ہو بیان فضل و شرف تہا یہ ہے, ارے بازا رے شام کوفا میں خوشید انور ارم سر سے بھی صاحب کا یہ کلام. غم سرور نے کچھ اس طرح سوار اس طرح سنوارے غم سرور نے کچھ اس طرح سنوارے آنسو, ارے لے گئے خلد بری ہم کو ہمارے اس طرح سوارے. ایک اور مطلب پیش, ارے کبھی گوہر تو کبھی بن گئے تارے آنسو, کبھی گوہر تو کبھی بن گئے دونوں صورت میں رہے پیارے کے پیارے آنسو, غم سرور نے کچھ اس طرح سوارے آنسو. ارے جب یہ دیکھا کہ ہے دشوار بہت رائے نجات, جب یہ دیکھا کہ ہے دشوار بہت رائے نجات,
और हमको पहुंचा गए कौसर के किनारे। आंसू में सरवर ने कुछ इस तरह संवारे।
और शेर पेश है,
अरे गमे दुनिया में ना आंखों से निकलने देंगे।
मिसरा पेश।
गमे दुनिया में ना आंखों से निकलने देंगे। अरे फातिमा की है अमानत ये हमारे इस तरह सवार।
और शेर पेश है,
अरे बाद मरने के खुली इनकी हकीकत हम पर। बाद मरने के खुली इनके
पेश है
हकीकत हम पर। अरे जगमगाने लगे तुर्बत को हमारे आंसू में सरवर ने कुछ इस तरह सवारे।
आखिरी दो शेर।
अरे जिनका दुनिया में खरीदार नहीं था कोई। जिनका दुनिया में खरीदार नहीं था कोई। अरे खुल्द के मोल बिके हश्र में सारे आंसू में सर इस तरह सवारे।
आखिरी दो शेर।
अरे बैठ कर फर्शे अजा पर जो बहाए आंसू। बैठ कर फर्शे अजा पर जो बहाए कभी। अरे सैयदा ले गई चुन चुन के आसारे आंसू में सरवर ने कुछ इस तरह सवारे आंसू। अरे गमे शब्बीर में पलकों पा सजाए रखना। गमे शब्बीर में पलकों पा सजाए रखना। अरे फातिमा जहरा को लगते हैं प्यारे आंसू गमे सरवर ने कुछ।
सूरह फातिहा।
सर इमाम का बज में यजे महशर बपा है आले रसूल मजे। अरे सामान रक्सो ऐश है कसरे पले।
अरे सीना जनी है इतरत
शाहे शहीद में,
अरे दरबार आम में तो सबों का हो जो, अरे सैदानियों में हाय हो सेना की जो, अरे रावी बयान करता है अब यूं बचाश
में,
दाखिल हुआ जो शाम में सब लश्कर
सीता,
अरे पहुंची यजीद को खबर आमद, अरे बोला हुसैन पर हुए मंसूर, अरे सर तश्त में दिखाऊंगा इब्ने बतूल
का,
अरे दरबार में हो दाखिला आले
रसूल का,
अरे दरबार में हो दाखिला आले पेशे यजीद आया हरम का जो
कारवा,
अगलब था जाने दुख्तर गैदर की हो
रमा,
अरे देखा यजीद ने जो सकीना को ना, अरे पूछा ये कौन है तो किया शिमर
ने बयान,
अरे बेटी है ये जनाबे शाये
मशरकैन की,
अरे बाली सकीना है ये ही दोख्तर हुसैन, अरे पूछा यजीद ने के पिदर तेरा क्या
हुआ,
बोली सकीना जाने बेदर बारे
गया,
अरे होते पिदर जो जिंदा तो बंद था मेरा
गला,
अरे सर बर है नाती मैं बलवे बे, अरे एक जान सौ तरह के बलाओ वो बाम
है,
अरे वारिस है एक बाए सो कैद जफा, यजीद दिल में तेरे आरज़ो
है क्या,
अरे बोली सकीना सर मुझे दिखला दे
बाप का,
अलके सा खुल गया रसने जुल्म से
गला,
अरे तश्ते तिला दिखा के ये हाकिम
ने दी सदा,
अरे आलू दखाक से है
तो खून से
भरा
हुआ,
अरे ले इसमें तेरे बाप का सर है
धरा,
पर शर्त है उठा के नसर की जियो
तुबे,
आप ही से आए गोद में तेरे
सरे,
अरे सर पोश को उठा के पुकारी वो नूरे,
ارے اے فاطمہ کی راحت جا مصطفیٰ کے چین،
ارے چھونے کو سر کے حکم نہیں غم کی ماں، ارے آ جاؤ میری گود میں گر تم کو پیاری ہوں،
ارے دیکھا سبوں نے کانپ گیا سر حسین کا، بولی سکینہ لاڈ لے تم پر سے میں فدا،
ارے پھیلاؤ ہاتھ آتا ہوں میں غم کا مبتلا،
ارے یہ کہہ کے اٹھا تشت سے فرش شہ خدا،
کہہ کے اٹھا تشت سے فرق شہ خدا،
ارے کانپی زمین تختے ستم گر الٹ گیا،
ارے بیٹی سے آن کر سر سرور لپٹ گیا،
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، حضرت الاسلام مولانا حمزہ سوداگر کی آج آخری مجلس ہے، اس مجلس کو اشرف زی فیملی نے اسپانسر کیا ہے، اس لیے ان کے خاندان کے مرحومین کے لیے سورہ فاتحہ، کل 12 سپٹمبر 5 روزہ مدارس کے سلسلے کی کل آخری مجلس ہوگی، اس مجلس سے مولانا سید رضا باقر رضوی خطاب فرمائیں گے، ان کا یہ خطاب اردو میں ہوگا۔ ویڈنسڈے 22 سپٹمبر ٹو سنڈے 26 سپٹمبر بس سلسلہ چہلم امام حسین علیہ السلام مجالس منعقد ہوں، یہ 5 روزہ مدارس ہیں، ان مدارس سے خطیب اہل بیت مولانا انور علی قبلہ خطاب فرمائیں گے۔ آئی ول ریکویسٹ حضرت الاسلام مولانا حمزہ سوداگر پلیز کم اینڈ ایڈریس دا مجلس۔
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. For his health and well-being, let's recite the second one louder. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of our Imam. Let's recite the third one even louder. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه. Imam Zainul Abidin Salam Allah Alayh, as we've been discussing, trying to see what he did in the aftermath of Karbala as the next Imam, continuing with the mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gave to the Prophet, and after the Prophet left in the house of Nubuwwah, the house of Risala, the house of Fatima, where Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Husayn, and after them Imam Zain al-Abidin, all the way to the Imam of our time, that the Risalah, that mission, remained in the house of the Ahlul Bayt. And one after the other, the Imams have continued that progress, that process that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi begun, until it reaches the final destination, which is what God says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. He is the one that sent the messenger with huda, with guidance, and the religion of the truth, so that it prevails over all other ideologies, beliefs, religions, and so on and so forth. Imam after imam has moved into or in that direction, and the final stage of that will be done by the last Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah Abdullah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Imam Zain al-Abidin took measures after Karbala. Karbala was a shock to revive the Ummah, and Imam Al-Husayn was successful with the few that he had with him. He gave life to almost the corpse of the nation of the Prophet. It was dying. Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi gave life back to the Ummah of the Prophet. And Imam Zain al-Abidin is continuing. It's not enough that it just barely lives. It needs to prosper. It needs to get larger. It needs to progress towards the final destination. Imam Zain al-Abidin, during this period, has a responsibility to move it in that direction. What are the measures that he took? We spoke about a few of the measures that Imam Zain al-Abidin took during this time, during this period. The last measure that we want to discuss tonight has to do again with the students of Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi. We're going back to that. There's another element in the students of Imam Zain al-Abidin, which tells us the Imam was trying to accomplish something else through the students as well. This one has to do with the long-term goals. Imam Zain al-Abidin, we mentioned, the measures he took were not limited to that period and establishing the government of the Ahlul Bayt in the year 140 after the Hijrah. That wasn't the only thing the Imam was doing. The measures that the Imam took were multifaceted. They had various wisdoms, various layers, various objectives in mind. Some of them had to do with establishing that government in the year 140. Tonight I want to talk about something that Imam Zain al-Abidin taught his students that has remained with those students. They passed it on, and we have it, and we have them today. And the objective behind that, this particular measure that the Imam is taking, although it did have benefits, it did have its effects for the year 140 as well, yet the major effects of this particular measure taken by Imam Zain al-Abidin were going to show not in the year 140, but many years later, many centuries later. In fact, today we are witnessing some of the results, outcomes, and effects of this particular measure. What is that measure taken by Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi? The measure of dua. Imam Zain al-Abidin teaches dua to his students. One of the things he does is he teaches dua. We have various dua. We have as-sahifa as-sajjadiyya. The dua that we want to discuss tonight, and the aspect, the dimension that we want to discuss tonight in regards to the du'as of Imam Zain al-Abidin that we know he taught, there's plenty of du'as, there's Sahifa Sajjadiyya, there's other du'as, the desired effect that is going to be in the long run will be bearing its effects in centuries to come, has to do with that element of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that you and I need today. This is something that humanity needs at all times. At any point where humanity, mankind as individuals, as a family, as societies, the society or the global community of mankind, on any level, when this connection is lost, the connection that can only grow in the context of dua, the connection that requires continuous dua, continuous sessions of dua, not one time, not one session, humanity is in need of it. If it is removed, that element is removed from society or from the routine schedule of a human being, from the routine schedule of a family, a problem arises. What is that problem? When you remove dua, which is essentially the feeling of need, recognition of deficiency, realizing that I don't have, realizing that I am nothing, and the one that has is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that has everything. If you remove this, it will be replaced with, I am something, I am someone, I have things, I can do things, I'm intelligent, I'm better than this person, I'm better than that person, these other people are below me, these other people need to kiss my hands, these other people need to do all the things for me. All the evils of the world are because humanity, human beings, الرَّآهُ استغنَى, استغنَى, or thinking, not realizing, I was going to use the word realizing, but realizing is for something that's real, you just didn't know, you realize it. This is not a realization, this is a delusion, an illusion. It's not real, it's a mirage. What is that mirage? The mirage that I have, I am. We think, oh, I'm healthy, I have this body, I have muscles, I have whatever it is, on whatever. When we're a little more, a little younger, as children, what we think we have is, I'm stronger than this guy, I go kick their tails. Get a little bigger, you have other measures, other things, you get financially strong, you think, oh, you have all this stuff, now you go out and you want to take out this business, that other guy, you don't like this person, like, get out of my face, use your money, use this. We feel all of these things are ours. It's mine. When I feel it's mine, I'm not needy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that leads to tughyan. Tughyan is rebellion. Rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't think you need God, if you don't think you depend on God, if you don't think everything comes from God, if you don't think God is in control of your jugular vein. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Prophet, not you and I, not the Prophet. Is there any better person than the Prophet? Allah tells His Prophet, if you change one letter of what I'm telling you to give to man, to the rest of mankind, to people, I will slit that jugular vein right there. If you dare change that. Okay. One letter. A person who thinks, well, this jugular, this heart is beating, the vein is mine, I'm in control, I'm seeing my doctor, I have everything under control, my cholesterol is under control, my fat is under control, I get my vitamins, I have all this stuff going on, I'm in control of this. And God says, I will cut that jugular vein. Like, you're not going to cut my jugular vein. You can't do that. That's the way we feel. Well, we start disobeying. So it's called tughyan, rebellion. Rebellion. All the problems of the world is rebellion against God. Rebellion against God. Within the context of the family, a father has certain responsibilities towards his family. A father is supposed to be taking care
of his children that father is also a husband. A husband has responsibilities towards his spouse, his wife. Who does he need to answer to? Who is he responsible to in that context? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God said, you're responsible. You have to take care of her. You have to take care of those children. It's your job to do that. I gave you your health. I gave you your body. I gave you your money. I gave you your intelligence. I gave you everything. I'm telling you, you are responsible to take care of them. Okay. Am I responsible towards my wife? If the wives don't kill us, no. No, we're not responsible towards our wife. We're responsible towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My wife, maybe, inshallah, alhamdulillah, this isn't the case, but if my wife wants something that God says, no. I'm not going to do it. It's the responsibility is towards whom? Allah. Allah says you got to take care of whom? Your wife. You got to take care of your children in the way that He says. Take care of them in these ways, spiritually, financially, emotionally. I feel that I am needless of God. I don't feel that all of this is His. I feel especially money is mine. Okay. And when I want something, whatever it is, this expensive car, I buy it. Expensive gadgets, I buy it. Expensive clothes, I buy it. If I like that clothing on my wife, I buy it. If I like it on my children, I buy it. If I don't like it, doesn't matter if she likes it or not. I'm not buying that. Okay. If I don't want that child to have something, I don't care if they want it. I don't want it, I'm not going to buy it. No permission is granted. Money is mine. Okay. But if I realize this, it's from God. God gave it. I'm responsible to use this for their comfort, their sustenance. It's theirs. God gave it to me. It's like I'm giving it to you. But you got to do this. You got to use it. How? On things that are halal. Let get what she likes. What the child likes. If it's halal. Why is it whatever you want, you get. Whatever they want. Next this, next that. Well, actually what God says, if you're listening to God, is that cut down on what you're getting. Get it for them. Do the other way around. If it's dependent on God, God says, you serve. You serve. We get confused on, let me explain this, because the idea here, the general idea, let's not lose the thought here, the general theme that we're talking about is this. There's a problem in mankind and humanity. Whenever we feel that we have things, we own them, it's mine, I'm not answerable to anyone, no one can hold me accountable, do whatever I want, we start rebelling against God. God has given us certain responsibilities. That's the thought. This particular example, let me explain, it's something that's beneficial, I think, to us. There's something in Islam called respecting parents. Right? We've all heard that, respecting parents. We're told to respect our parents. The Quran repeatedly says, and sorry, let me correct this. Islam says be kind to your parents. The correct wording is this. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. It doesn't say, it doesn't use the word respect. It uses the word kindness. Show kind, be kind to your parents. Obviously, you can't be rude to your parents. Just don't care and show kindness. That respect. A certain level of it has to do with kindness. You're being kind. We have that. Sure? Clear? We have hadith. A person goes to the imam and says, advice, something along these lines. I think I'm missing a little detail here on that. As for advice, the imam says, I advise you towards your mother. He says, Who next? Says your mother. Who next? Again, your mother. Next, then your father, with all due respect. Oh, so we hear this. As a parent, I hear this. As a parent, I hear this. I think it's good for me to remind my child, tell my child, you need to be good to me. Why? Because I heard a hadith that says, respect your mother. If I were the mother, I'd be like, oh, you need to respect me. Why? Because of that hadith. It also said father as well. There's other hadith about father. This was one example. It said, I, as a parent, go to that child and say, you got to do this. This is a little inaccurate and counterproductive. Islam tells the parent to be humble and to serve. It tells the child to be kind towards the parent. When the parent starts expecting and wanting and telling the child, you should respect me, it starts having the wrong effect. Because we are taking what the child is told. Who's taking it? The parent is taking it. And I'm pounding it into the child. The imam didn't tell us to do that. He said, from the perspective of you being a child, you asked me a question as the child, I told you respect your mom. Your mom didn't ask me, what should I tell my child? And then the imam say, tell your child to respect you. We don't have that. You see the difference? When a parent expects certain behavior from the child towards them, and they repeat that, they tell the child, this is not what Islam says, number one. Secondly, it has the wrong effect. What does Islam say? I'll use a different example for us to get this. Look, if parents are biological, the biological parents, right? They are the reason why we have this physical existence. Which one is more important, the physical existence or the spiritual existence? Well, obviously the spiritual existence. That's why when in Islam, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in regards to himself, and Amirul Mu'mineen, he says, Ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah. Me and Ali are the two fathers of this ummah. Okay. Or parents, if you wish. Ana wa Ali. So what type of biological? No. Except for the Sadat, obviously. It's not biological. That doesn't mean biological. What is that? Spiritual. Is that more important or the biological parent? Well, if what the Prophet says and what the parent says, they conflict. Who are we supposed to listen to? The Prophet, not the parent. Umar said that the Hajjul Tamattu' that the Prophet introduced in Hajjatul Wida', he banned it. His son, Abdullah ibn Umar, used to do it. They asked him, they said, your father banned this. He said, "You, in my words, you fool. The Prophet said this is... God said this, my father said otherwise. Who should I listen to, the Prophet or my dad?" The Prophet. His own son. One of the prophets is Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. We have this account. Jesus takes his disciples, these are the closest people to him, and he says, I want to take a promise. This is paraphrasing. I'm not giving the exact wording we have in the paraphrasing. Jesus tells his disciples, I want to do something. You guys agree? You're going to let me do it, right? He said, yes. He said, okay. Sit here. So they sat. He went and brought a bucket of water. Then he bent down. He took their feet and started washing their feet one by one. Like, oh, you're the prophet. Why? You know how we would feel, right? If he watches that, and then he tells them, look, I'm doing this so that you deal with the people under you in this way. if that prophet is dealing with his disciples in this way, it's just telling us on a biological level as well, the child, in the same context, were the disciples not told respect Jesus? Of course. Be kind to Jesus? Yes. Obey him even in that case? Yes. They're told, what does Jesus do towards them? He's humble. He washes their feet. As a parent, if that's more important, that relationship, as a parent, my teaching is you serve. If you can get a cup of water for your child, you see they're thirsty, they called somebody else for water, the other one is playing games, like, no, I don't want to do it. You don't have anything to do? You heard that? Get up, get him some water, give it to him. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually very good. People ask about tips about parenting. Oh, we want a parent. You want a parent? Do this. Show humility. Your child will pick up being humble. You don't like somebody acting arrogant in your face? Well, don't act arrogant. Don't just sit on the couch like, you go get it yourself. You see, the child asked, the other person asked their mother, whatever. Didn't even ask you. Maybe they didn't have the guts to ask you. You get up, go get that water. Be humble. Instead of the reverse, we say, we expect the child, and we keep telling him, oh, you got to respect me. You got to listen. How many times do I have to? And then we go, unfortunately, sometimes we get this, we go to a community, I feel sorry because the parent comes and says, can you tell my child to, you know, be respectful towards his or her parents? Brother, sister, I mean, I can try to do that, but this is not how you can earn respect. This is not how you can get that according to Islam. Yes, it's my job because God said, not because you said, because God said, I will try to tell your children. But when you tell me that, it shows me that you're a type of person that is expecting your child to show that. That expectation is not a good thing. Okay? Let's go back to the main theme, main topic. This, I think, important. Sometimes it's good to hear these advices, you know, these little things in the family. It's good. Each of us, we're all generally told, you go to Arba'in, you see Arba'in is coming, right? How beautiful it is. Isn't it beautiful? You see people that really selflessly, I mean, I was amazed. I heard this, but when you experience this, it's different. The first time I went for Arba'in, first night we're resting, the brother came, oiled, put all this oil, I don't know what exactly it was, these different oils on his hands, and then takes off my socks. You know, you've been walking all day, you know, that's not a very pleasant thing. Gets, all massages your feet, you know, between your toes, make sure. And then he kisses that hand. Why? Because you're serving the Za'ir of Hussein, the lover of the Ahlul Bayt. Are the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt only outside of my house? Isn't my wife, my husband, my child, aren't they lovers of the Ahlul Bayt too? Can't I sometimes at least selflessly, without asking, just bend down, do a little something? This is from the Ahlul Bayt, this is from the Quran, this is the type of behavior that we're supposed to. God says this, right? The more we realize I'm the abid of Allah. Okay? God says this is your behavior. Even when there's mistreatment, I'm the parent, my son, my daughter, or God forbid, between spouses, yeah, wrongfully, I said something, it was understood a different way, and then the wrong reaction, I'm wondering what the heck happened, you know, why are you saying that, I didn't mean this, I didn't say anything, why are you behaving this way? Sometimes wrong things, the other person does something wrong. What does Islam say? Islam says forgive. We explain that outside the context of the family. What about inside the family? What about inside? My child did it. Okay, just turn a blind eye. Act as though it didn't happen. Is that bad? No, it's good. God says do that. It doesn't matter what that child thinks at that point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that. If Allah likes it, and you want your child to be a better person, you did this for Allah, you think God's not going to help that child become a better person? The more we focus on, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. Do things the way God says, and He will do things better than what you expected in regards to your children, your spouse, your work, your money, your belongings in this world, your pleasures in this world, along with the hereafter, that it's just unimaginable for us. This will all happen when we feel what? We feel ibadah. On all other levels, I gave the example of the family, which is very important, we need to mention. On every other level as well, the problems of the world is because somebody feels that I have the right to the resources of this country. Well, God says you can't do that. I don't care. Just come here, take the land from Native Americans, give them all the diseases, give them contaminated blankets and all the wrongs that have happened and are happening in different corners of the world, unfortunately, that we're seeing. This person or the other person, and it's not just them, you and I are the same, brothers, sisters. Right now, yeah, I don't have any resources. If I feel independent, if I feel that I'm needless, if I feel that I am whom I am, then if I go in the White House, I'm going to do the same thing. If I become the president or the king or the queen or whatever, prime minister of whatever country, I'm going to do the same. Sometimes, another example, we tend to critique, like, oh, if, for example, if we're in an Iranian circle, Iranians critiquing, oh, this guy in the government, that guy in the government, oh, they're all corrupt, this, that, the other. Iraqis, when the context of Iraq, oh, these corrupt politicians did that, the other. Pakistanis, Pakistan, oh, corrupt, this, that, the other. Well, did you realize that that person, before he was in that position, he looked like just you and I? Okay. We don't have what they have, and we're just complaining about the corruption. Like, yeah, he put his brother there, he wasn't qualified. Well, the way I am, the way I think that I have control of what I have, if I'm put over there, I will do the same thing. I'll give that to my brother. I'm going to do the same exact thing. This is our problem. On a social political level, when people think that they are not needy of God, things don't belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not slaves of Allah, I get to do what I want. When we don't have, we critique them, oh, they're corrupt, this, that, the other. When we have, we do worse than what they do. We will. That's just how it is. Humanity on all these levels needs to change, needs to realize it isn't mine. If I have this body, if I'm more capable of another than another person, if I am physically more able, okay, I don't get to use this whatever way I want. It belongs to him. I am supposed to use it the way he said. If it's belonging to me, I'll use this to beat this guy up, steal his money. If I'm more intelligent, I'll use him to trick the guy, to take his money. If it's his, I'll use this to serve that person, because he said serve that person. One of the greatest ibadat of Allah is to serve people. People. Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi used to carry food for people that didn't recognize his imamah. The Prophet, when he came back from the trip he had, the business trip, he made all that money. What did he do with it? He came in this Mecca, all these people are mushrikeen. This is before his risala begins at age 40. What are they? Are they believers? No, they go and bend down and worship these idols. But the Prophet brings that money and takes care of these people who are in need. He serves the khalq of Allah. He doesn't look at them, oh, this guy, this, that, this. This is God's creation. God gave me this money. This is his. He says, oh, go help them. If we would all realize this, that it's not mine, it's his, let me see what he says I need to do, we will all start behaving in that way. Then you will see that there will be no theft. There will be no abuse. There will be no domestic violence. There will be no stealing of resources from the rest of the world. All these oppressions you see. In order to change mankind, instead of creating prisons, and as soon as you make a mistake, you throw the person in the prison, although there is room, there is penal code in Islam, there are some very limited cases where you have that as well, but that's not going to cause people to stop stealing and for corruption to go away. That's not going to do it. What's going to do it? This knowledge, this understanding needs to be given. People need to understand this. As long as they don't understand it, that prison, they can get out of it one way or another. Something, they will create corruption inside the prison. Sometimes a person goes in the prison, they committed one crime. They go in there, they learn 50 crimes and come out. It's that understanding, that knowledge. Imam Zainul Abidin, all those years ago, he taught this dua in this beautiful language. Read these du'as from Imam Zainul Abidin. There's a series of munajat, there are 15 of them. You can find them in Mafatihul Janan. They're short, they're not as long. Du'a Abu Hamza al-Thumali is a great, beautiful, amazing du'a. But it's very lengthy. Usually people don't have the patience to go through it. A lot of times you may not have the time to do it. You want something brief. The munajat of Imam Zainul Abidin that you find in Mafatih is 15 of them. Munajat of Abidin, munajat of Ta'ibin, and so on and so forth. These are short, they're brief. Read them, read the translation, connect with that, keep repeating that. Just asking, using this beautiful language of the Imam, in different ways the Imam is helping each individual who takes that dua and uses it and reads it and supplicates. The one who feels in need, not the time that I feel like I have everything, I'm all rebellious and stuff. But when I get sick, when I'm in the hospital, when I'm at the mercy of a surgeon, when I lose my job, when I start developing problems that I can't resolve, I can't get through, like I try this person, I try that person, I try to push them, nobody's listening to me, I feel desperate, then I remember, oh, I can do dua. Where you go and start asking. The Imam teaches wording there, that when you in that position that God puts you there, you repeat these lines. It keeps pushing you, teaching you, and giving you wording that will allow your heart to absorb and soak in the notion of what? The notion of ubudiyyah, the notion of being an abd. There's a number of hadith that say dua is mukhul ibadah. Mukhul ibadah, the essence of ibadah, the crux of ibadah, doesn't mean it's the crux of prayer. Ibadah means being a slave of Allah. The crux of it is feeling that I am not, I don't have, and He has. The essence of dua is exactly that. I don't have, I'm going to the one that has. Okay. Imam Zainul Abidin teaches us to do dua, and then with the wording that enhances that experience. If just asking reminds me that I don't have and He has, the wording of the dua, the wording of the dua that keeps repeating the idea that I don't have and You have, spiritually, materially, Imam Zainul Abidin with this is trying to train all humanity to become ibad of Allah, to realize that we are ibad of Allah, to realize that we are slaves of Allah, to realize that our very existence belongs to Allah. Don't get arrogant, you have this, that, the other. It's all God's. It belongs to Him. At any point, it will be taken away from you. And if we're able to process that. Last point that I will mention in the same context is sometimes it's difficult to be involved with these du'as by ourselves. There's a lot of du'as. It takes a process of understanding, translation, this, that, the other. When we collectively engage in du'a, it has multiple effects. One of them is this. It makes it easier. Okay, makes it easier. I don't know, you probably have Dua Kumail on a weekly. This week we had Dua Kumail, we recited together. Okay. You probably have that. What I encourage everybody to take sessions of dua more seriously. Take sessions of dua more seriously. Establish sessions of dua as well. You know how you do majalis at home? You invite a reciter, a speaker, whatever, zakir, of whatever sort, in the house, have a little remembrance of Imam al-Husayn. Sometimes have a session of dua. Have a session of dua. Imam Zain al-Abidin taught numerous du'as. How many times do we get across? Have we read even once from cover to cover all the du'as of Imam Zain al-Abidin in Sahifa Sajjadiyya? The Imam went through all that effort, taught us all of these. In order to gain the ma'rifah, the benefits of all of these, if we help each other through having these sessions. One of the other things that happened in Qum, I don't know how possible it is, but it was a nice thing. Some of the ulama had sessions on, the text was the dua of Imam Zain al-Abidin. You, instead of just reading it as dua, you can do that on your own. But here we're discussing the meaning of dua, this dua. So the next time when you pick it up and read it, you're more familiar with it. You make connections with the meanings of this dua. If possible, if it's available, if you have someone that can give even a short, brief explanation of these, if not in these larger sessions in the center, some other way, try to find a way of making that connection with dua. Hopefully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless us and our families and our communities with the spirit of ibadah, being a slave. That will change everything for the better, inshallah. Sallallahu alayk, ya Abu Abdullah. Sallallahu alaykum, ya أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعدن الرحمة ومنتهى الحلم وخزان العلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out, seeking permission before entering upon you. Let's take our hearts to Medina. One of the shuhada of this month is Imam al-Mujtaba. Imam al-Mujtaba is so mazloom. Even amongst us, the Shia, we barely remember him. Ya Abba Muhammad, ukhi fida. The mazlumi of Imam al-Mujtaba is on so many different levels. Ya Aba Muhammad, as a child, Imam al-Mujtaba saw something that no one else saw. In the streets, he was the one walking back with his mother from the masjid. When the mal'oon took the letter from the lady Fatima al-Zahra, he was a witness. He saw how the mal'oon laid his hand on his mother. روحي فداك يا مولا إمام المجتبى was in the masjid when Amir al-Mu'mineen was hit on the head with the sword. Imam المجتبى took the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen and put it on his lap. Ya Aba Muhammad, what did the Ummah do to you after Amir al-Mu'mineen? He called the Ummah to gather and fight the Mal'oon Muawiyah. But when he went to Mada'in to gather troops, he was praying in the tent. The mal'oons came in. They pulled the rug from beneath his feet while he's praying, throwing the imam down. Another mal'oon stabs the imam in the thigh. Ya Aba Muhammad, how many times your friends were the ones that seemed to be close to you, that stabbed you with their words every time they saw you? They called him Ya Mudhil al-Mu'mineen. But beyond all, in his own home, he was madloob. While he was thirsty from the fast of the day, that mal'oon lady gives the imam a cup of milk filled with poison. I don't know what this poison was. As soon as he drinks it, it starts having its effects very quick. Imam al-Mujtaba feels he wants to cough. He feels the burning inside. He coughs up, there's blood coming. He calls on his brother. Call my brother and sister. Zainab comes in, seeing Imam al-Mujtaba coughing up blood. Imam al-Husayn sits there watching this. He begins to cry. Imam al-Mujtaba looks at Husayn. He says, Husayn, what are you crying for? La yawm ka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. I have you by my side. I have Zainab by my side. When your day comes, you will have Shimr with his boots on your chest. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين.
سر پیٹتے خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر، پیر تے خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبی سر پیر تے خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر سر پیر تے خیمے آتے ہیں شبیر
پاہے بنی آشم کا علم لاتے ہیں شبیر
سر پیر تے خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر
ایک در سے بانی
سکینہ کو ہٹا دو خیمے کے در سے بانی سکینہ کو ہٹا دو عباس کے مرنے کی خبر آتے ہیں شبیر
سرپیتے خیمے کی طرح آتے ہیں شبیر
اکبر نہیں عباس نہیں کون سنبھالے پر نہیں عباس نہیں کون سنبھالے بسوئے فلک دیکھ کے رہ جاتے ہیں شبیر سر پیٹتے خیمے کی
طرف آتے ہیں شبیر
لاشا تو علمدار کا دریا ہی پہ چھوڑا لاشا تو علمدار کا دریا ہی پہ چھوڑا لاشا تو علمدار کا دریا ہی پہ چھوڑا تو علمدار کا دریا ہی پہ چھوڑا دامن میں کٹے ہاتھ لیے آتے ہیں شبیر سر پیٹ خیمے کی طرف ننی سی قبر میں علی اصغر کو سلا کر ننی سی قبر میں
علی اصغر کو سلا کر
ننی سی قبر میں علی اصغر کو سلا کر ننی سی قبر میں علی اصغر آ کر مقتل میں خود بھی خاک پاس ہو جاتے ہیں شبیر سر پیر خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر اور گھڑیل جوان کے قلب سے برچی نکال کر گھڑیل جوان کے قلب سے برچی نکال کر گھڑیل جوان کے قلب سے برچی نکال کر گھڑیل جوان قلب سے برچی نکال کر جلتی زمین پا سجدہ بجا لاتے ہیں شبیر سر پیٹتے خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر عباس کے مرنے سے کمر شاہ کی ٹوٹی عباس کے مرنے سے کمر شاہ کی ٹوٹی اس لیے تو ہر گام پا جھک جاتے ہیں شبیر خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر سر پیٹتے خیمے کی طرف آتے ہیں شبیر حسین
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 صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیک یا خیر خلق اللہ یا خاتم النبیین وصفوة المرسلین صلی اللہ علیک یا امیر المؤمنین علی ابن ابی طالب وصی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیک یا فاطمہ سیدۃ نساء العالمین صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا محمد یا حسن ابن علی ایها المجتبى صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا عبداللہ وعلى الارواح التي حلت بفنائک علیک منی سلام اللہ ابدا ما بقیت وبقی اللیل والنہار ولا جعلہ اللہ آخر العہد منی لزیارتکم السلام علی الحسین وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي ابن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا بقية الله يا حجة الله عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته
اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذا الصعيد ليس حيان وحافظا قائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه وارزك عطاه وتمتعه فيها طويلا وتكيانا